Memorials are happening across Japan today, and they're marking a grim anniversary. A historic earthquake, tsunami, and nuclear meltdown rocked that country on this day 5 years ago. That is Zojoji Temple in Tokyo, where hundreds of Buddhist monks gathered to pray for victims. The emperor and prime minister led the nation in a moment of silence at 2:46 in the afternoon, marking the moment the earthquake hit. The tsunami that followed was responsible for most of the 19,000 deaths. It also triggered a nuclear meltdown. Radiation forced entire communities on the northeast coast to empty out. And now, 5 years later, for many evacuees, it's still not safe to go home. Here's NPR's Elise Hu.
For nearly 60,000 evacuees, temporary is lasting a long time. Neat blocks of prefabricated housing are set up in Date City, 2 hours away from the site of one of the world's worst nuclear accidents. The wood siding on the tiny homes here looks new, but these trailers are stretching into their fifth year of use. 77-year-old Saki Sato shows me around her home.
There is a kitchen and living room and also sleeping room and also just one bath.
Each room she describes is about the size of a king-sized mattress. On the wall along the narrow entranceway are photos of loved ones.
This is my family, this is my granddaughter, and this is my nephew.
That's where her extended evacuation hits her the hardest. I used to see my son regularly, she says. But now that I've moved farther away, he doesn't come around as often. It's too exhausting for him to come this far to visit.
It's really hard, she just said.
5 years ago, when Japan's largest ever earthquake hit, it triggered a 300-mile-long tsunami. Most people who died drowned in minutes. The tsunami also shut down the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant's cooling system. It triggered a meltdown, spreading radiation plumes as far as 25 miles away. Sato and her neighbors fled their homes. Her entire village of Itate, along with several other communities, emptied out quickly.
So many lessons learned.
Yuichi Okamura is a spokesman at TEPCO, the Tokyo Electric Power Company, which owns the plant. Outside investigations show TEPCO missed several opportunities to prevent the meltdown, and prosecutors indicted its former leaders just weeks ago, charging they didn't act soon enough to inform the public a meltdown had happened. Inside TEPCO's Tokyo headquarters, the company says it's trying to look forward.
Our organization itself, we have to change. We have to improve. We can improve.
The plant is only beginning a decommissioning process that will take 40 years. At the government level, the people in charge of the ongoing recovery effort are also playing a long game.
My name is Hatsuo Fujishima. I'm Director General of General Affairs Division of Fukushima Prefectural Government.
So you're in charge of the recovery?
Broadly.
Recovery involves rebuilding roads, bridges, and power lines. It also means helping rehouse many of the 160,000 Japanese still displaced by the storm. Officials have already missed various deadlines for rehousing evacuees. Part of the problem is competition for construction workers and materials. Japan's government isn't just rebuilding the coast, it's also readying itself for the 2020 Olympics. Fujishima estimates his prefecture is only about halfway to its decontamination and rebuilding goals.
In terms of infrastructure, our recovery has been quite fast, I would say. The difference in Fukushima is the radiation problem. Radiation takes a long time to disappear.
When it is safe to go home again, there's also the issue of what people would return to. Communities, schools, and businesses that once existed are no longer there. One business forced by radiation to relocate is Ebisu An, a family-owned restaurant specializing in freshly made udon noodles. These days, Hiroshi Takahashi and his mom and dad are working in a cramped kitchen in Fukushima City. It's a long drive from their old location near the coast.
After March 11th, we started our udon restaurant here with my father's friend's support.
It became a gathering place for Itate Village evacuees who wanted a sense of home far from their actual home. But the bonds have since frayed. Takahashi says, while many villagers showed up here in the immediate aftermath of the disaster, he doesn't see many of them anymore. He does plan to move the business back to Itate eventually. The government plans to lift the evacuation order by next March. How do you feel about getting to return?
It's a little complicated, the emotions I'm feeling, because even when I go back to Itate, I'm not sure how many other Itate refugees will come back.
That's the big question. When evacuees can return, will they want to? Public safety fears about radiation remain, and communities have been split up for years. The Fukushima government estimates half the evacuees may never return. Back in the temporary housing blocks, the elderly, like 77-year-old Sato, have found a routine. Afternoon teas, flower arrangement classes, walks with neighbors.
Also, my friends are living here now.
She says she doesn't know if she'll ever return to the village. 5 years after a forced evacuation, Sato and thousands of others just like her are still in limbo. Elise Hugh, NPR News, Fukushima, Japan.